Welcome to Progressive Pockets. I go by Gigi. That's short for Gennet Gimja. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. This is a show where the topic is all about our money. But it's not really about how to make more money. It's about what we do once we have some money, especially if you're a person who's looking around, noticing that some things are broken in the world around us, and you want to be a part of the change. Most of the topics for the show come from you, the listeners, so you are always welcome to fill out the contact form at progressivepockets.com, or you can send an email with your suggestions for a topic. progressivepockets@gmail.com. Recently, there was an episode that seemed to really resonate. It was about research into where American Muslims tend to donate their money. That was episode 115. And the part that seemed to especially resonate with you all was learning about Islamic concepts of giving. I learned so much. Growing up culturally as an Orthodox Christian, I was familiar with the concept of tithing. And I had never really considered that there could be so much more to it than that. So if you missed episode 115, I do want to suggest that you check it out. One of the most mind-shifting concepts from that episode was the concept of zakat, where people are required to give according to their wealth, not their income. Fascinating. So this week, let's talk about what it means to invest according to Islamic principles. If you thought the discussion on giving within Islam was interesting, pull up a chair, pour yourself something to drink. This is so fascinating. Initially, I was sort of surprised that there would be a religious guideline around investing, but the more I thought about it, there are guidelines on giving. There's a verse in the Bible about the dangers of loving money. I think we've all probably heard the verse about how difficult it is for a rich man to enter heaven, something about the eye of a needle and all that. But investing, I mean, what could a religious text have to say about investing? It turns out a whole lot. So first, let's take a step back and do two quick definitions. Have you ever heard the word halal or haram? Halal could be translated to mean permissible, and haram could be translated to mean forbidden. I'm a basic Arabic speaker on a good day, so I'm sure there are much more robust definitions that you can find out there, but that's the fundamental meaning. Halal is permissible and haram is forbidden. So the theory behind halal investing comes straight from the Quran. The Quran has a lot to say about money, even besides what was covered in episode 115 about Islam and giving. In fact, fun fact, the longest verse in the Quran is about loans and debt. Some guidelines about tracking debt, but really the part that blew my hair back is about how forbidden it is to not pay back your debt. And in fact, one interpretation of a verse that I read said that a person can't enter paradise until debt is repaid. It's also forbidden to charge interest if you yourself are providing a loan to another person. This is the interpretation that a lot of religious scholars have come to. Many scholars of Islam believe that it is haram to do debt at all, to take on debt, and to charge others interest. So, given that, what are the requirements of halal investing? And how does this play out in concrete ways in modern times? If you think about it, for a lot of Americans, the biggest investment has traditionally been buying a home. This can be tricky if you believe that engaging in interest-based debt is haram. So there are some Islamic mortgages that you can use to buy a house. They don't technically charge interest, but you do have to make the payments for a longer amount of time. And so maybe another way to think about it is that you're just agreeing upfront to a total price of the home that includes the financing rather than a traditional mortgage where, you know, you buy a house and then honestly, that's only half of the story, because by the time you finish paying off your mortgage after 30 years, you've actually paid double, which, you know what? I mean, when you think about it that way, the whole smoke and mirrors of traditional modern mortgages does start to feel kind of haram. So that's one way of kind of getting around the modern day mortgage situation, according to Islam. Doing an Islamic mortgage where you aren't technically charged interest, but your payments do go on for longer. Some people might say this is semantics, but I don't know. For the other investments to be halal, if you think about your retirement account, for example, you have to think about the strict debt guidelines. So you aren't going to want to invest in companies that carry a lot of debt or charge interest. And then if you think about it, even your money sitting in the bank is gaining interest. So savings accounts, CDs, money market accounts, savings bonds, treasury bills, all of that stuff deals in interest. So it's haram. Finally, anything resembling gambling is haram too. So all that stuff that involves betting against a company, futures, options, all those types of investments are going to be haram, as well as other investments that have to do with other generally haram things like pork, alcohol, etc. So given all of that, what products and services are out there for people who want to try to invest according to these principles? Well, it might not surprise you to find out that there are investment firms and financial planners that are absolutely set up to serve clients who want to invest according to Islamic principles. I'm going to include the link in the show notes to one of them that's called Saturna Capital. It has a very informative website and it's very transparent about its theories on how to do that. And there are ETFs and index funds and all kinds of products that are out there for individual investors too. Yes, they charge a little bit more. Yes, they have slightly lower, sometimes much lower returns. But they do provide a pathway forward that allows folks to invest and still live out their faith. So I'm going to include a couple of links to those, but I'll include those in the newsletter. So what does this have to do with me or you if you're not actually practicing this faith? I like looking at different faiths to understand the guidelines on money because, for one thing, they remind me that I don't have to go with the status quo. I have the ability to make some changes that meet my specific needs, my specific values. So I really appreciate that reminder. And you know what? For the subscribers of the newsletter, I'm going to include a link to a podcast called Other People's Pockets, where a guy in, I think he was in California, was being interviewed about the lengths he has gone to so that he can live and manage his money according to his faith. Things got really tricky with his pension. I think he worked at a university. So it was fascinating to hear how he kind of came up with a solution that could work in today's day and age. So I'm going to link that, but I'm going to include that in the newsletter if you want to subscribe to that. So that's one reason why I like to highlight what different faiths are doing when it comes to money. But there's another reason too. Sometimes I think we can get good ideas from other faiths. So even if you're not religious at all, you might be inspired by some of the suggestions in the Bible or in the Quran or in the Torah or in the Gita. I mean, you name your holy book. Yeah, I bet you'll find some problematic stuff in it, but sometimes there are some inspiring ideas too. So that's the second reason I like to look into these things and share what I learn. In fact, if you are a very risk-averse investor, you might be drawn to halal investing because it is much less risky than traditional investing because of the low debt requirements. So to recap, here's what we covered today. First, the Quran has a lot to say about money, and that includes guidelines to avoid being on either end of the interest-bearing debt. This can make it more complicated to invest in modern times here in the U.S. Number two, generally speaking, to make sure that you're fully halal, in full compliance, you're going to want to avoid savings accounts or any other banks that pay you an interest on your money. You're going to want to look into Islamic mortgages, if that makes sense for your understanding of the religious guidelines. You're going to want to invest in companies that don't deal in interest or other haram things like pork. Number three, there are investment firms and advisors that can help you with this. There are products that are available for individual investors like ETFs. And number four, I didn't get into this today, but if you absolutely can't avoid haram investments, or maybe there's a portion of your investment that is haram, generally there's a widely acceptable standard for not having more than 5% of your investment be haram. But if you can't avoid that, you can look into ways to purify your money through very specific charitable giving. So interesting, right? If you have a few more minutes, go back and listen to episode 115 about where American Muslims tend to donate. The super interesting part about that episode is learning what the Quran says about giving your money away. So let's end with a quote. Do what you can to show you care about other people, and you will make our world a better place. That quote is from Rosalind Carter. Please send this episode to someone who you think might find this interesting and start a conversation about faith-based investing with a friend. You know, a today I learned type of a thing. Let's stop there for today. I can't wait to hear what you thought about today's episode. Drop me a note at progressivepockets@gmail.com. Let's talk again soon.